I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you. Oh, Billy Bird now.
Welcome back, Arizona homeowners, to Rosie on the House, where the topic of the hour right now is floor covering. In particular, we wanted to focus on vinyl flooring because of the huge trend to vinyl flooring that we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. So let's talk about the difference quality. I mean, the different mill thickness of the top layer of the finish makes a difference. What the substrate is, what it gets put on, how the floor is treated. JJ, you want to talk a bit about what kind of floor prep we need to be thinking about?
Floor prep, yeah, that's an important one, and kind of one that if you're not reading those instructions, like Mitch said, you're going to miss it and have a lot of money go down the drain pretty quick. You know, the slightest thing on floor prep with a lot of the new vinyls that are out there, they're almost all going to have the pad attached to the back of the material. And this is great. This helps with the sound deadening. So, you know, a grain of sand doesn't affect you the same way as it would have before the pad became attached. But the requirements for some of the slabs are, you know, what is it? The 3/16 within 10 feet or something.
Yeah, that's like over 10 feet, yeah.
For most of them. So any pooling in the slab, any cracks, even minute height differences, all those things need to be addressed. And a lot of times if that's missed, you end up with, you know, click unwanted noise, separation, lock failures.
Little toe catches on the corner.
Yeah, lippage, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So floor prep is critical. I've got a question for you guys. How about post-tension slabs? That became a big wave for home builders for a while. It's still a good mix of homes, but that presents some special challenges for you floor covering guys.
Yeah, the post-tension slabs are great for certain things like tile, because you don't have to worry about an expansion joint. Then you don't have to worry about that movement or grout cracking or tiles popping. I'll tell you what's really hard is when you're trying to drill into a post-tension slab to moisture test a slab.
Yes.
Kind of scary a little bit.
Yes, it is. You have to be very careful. Absolutely.
Or even when we're trying to do like an ADA shower.
Showers, yeah.
You were trying to take out. So layers of concrete and get down, and we got to get around those cables, and you don't want to cut one. That can be bad, real bad.
Now, you were talking 3/16 within 10 feet mm-hmm. on a slab. Can you find that in a post-tension slab? Don't they tend to be a little bit wavier than a conventional slab?
Yeah, so that's where I see a lot more of the pooling. I call it pooling, where, you know, out of nowhere for almost no reason, seemingly the slab drops and has a pool. Basically, if you were to pour water on it, there'd be a puddle there, you know, and all those issues need to be filled, whether grinding the high or patching the low.
Yeah. And I don't think Arizona homeowners have near the appreciation they need to have for subsurface moisture and the problems that can cause. And that's part of the dilemma that we had with earlier vinyl as well. The moisture from the slab you were talking about, y'all early on began laying vapor barriers down.
Yeah, correct. I know like with wood floors, you know, we have a certain process that we have to do to moisture test that slab. There's different processes that you can do, but there's only one real one that is the most accurate, and that's drilling into the slab down 40%. Putting in a capsule and then coming back a day later and reading what that temperature is. And that's where all your moisture is, about 40%. That's where that resonates. That's where that sits. So we can come in and we can tell you exactly the moisture content of that slab. And at that point is when we can determine what you need to do next. If it's good, let's go. If it's not good, then we have to do like a Planaseal on it to cover that slab and push that moisture out. And one of the, I think people really.
Is that a chemical seal that you paint a roll on, or is it
a, like is almost a sheet like a fabric. Glue, like
okay.
a glue.
All right.
Yeah, real thin. You put it on thin, and it almost melts out and gets flat.
Kind of self.
Yeah, so you don't get the trowel mark on it.
Okay.
I think people are surprised at how much moisture we have in our slab because it's so dry here. Like, well, it's dry. How can we have that moisture? Ground is wet. The concrete's porous. And it's dry, so it's pulling it up, and it's only one way for it to release, and that's up. And if you've got something that's keeping it from escaping anywhere else, it's going to start damaging that to get out. And if that's a wood floor, if that's a vinyl floor, it's going to do what it's got to do. That's why we put a moisture barrier underneath the laminate floor, is for moisture.
So, homeowners, I want y'all to picture this. Your home on your lot. Maybe it's all desert landscaping, but you've got a couple things that need to be watered right up against the foundation. Maybe it's a raised flower bed. Maybe it's a garden area. Maybe whatever it is, a hedge of some type. And you're watering right there around the perimeter of your exterior footing. That moisture can migrate to underneath the footing, underneath your slab. Your air conditioning comes on, and it literally acts like a suction vacuum, pulling that moisture up out of the slab, onto the surface, and into your house. That's just the facts. That's what we need to deal with. That's what we're here to protect you from at Rosie on the House.